In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Gospel of John is the only of the four Gospels that tells us the story of Lazarus and his raising from the dead. We do hear about his sisters in the Gospel of Luke, in the Gospel reading that we read on most of the Feast of the Theotokos, and we also hear them referenced among the myrrh-bearing women in the other three Gospels. But the fathers say that the reason why the Gospel of John is alone in recording the story is because righteous Lazarus continued to live for another 30 years after he was raised from the dead, and these other three Gospels were written during that time period, and the apostles didn't want to draw unnecessary attention to Lazarus, because as we heard in the Gospel reading, the chief priest wanted to kill him along with Christ because so many people were coming to believe in Christ because of the amazing miracle of Christ raising him from the dead. If we go back to the Gospel reading that we heard in the liturgy yesterday, we're told that when Lazarus became ill, his sisters sent unto Christ saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." And you'll note that they didn't say, "Lord, come quickly because our brother is sick." They just told him, "Our brother is sick, the one that you love." And they didn't ask him to come because they assumed he would come. They knew that Christ loved Lazarus. They knew that Christ loved them. Whenever Christ would come to Jerusalem, he would very often stay at their home. Bethany is not far from Jerusalem. It's only about a mile and a half away, so it's not a very long walk from the city of Bethany to the old city of Jerusalem. And so Christ stayed there very often, enjoyed their hospitality, and he came to love them, and they came to know and to love him. Now, Martha and Mary were not mistaken in their belief that Christ loved them. That was absolutely true, but they were mistaken in their assumption on how that love would be manifested in this particular situation. Christ not only didn't come before Lazarus died, but he arrived after he had been dead for 4 days. And so the natural grief that these sisters had for the loss of their brother was mixed with a bitter disappointment. And we hear this disappointment when each of the sisters separately meets Christ when he does come to Bethany, and they both say the exact same thing, the first words out of their mouth, "Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died." The fact that they said the exact same words might suggest that this was a complaint that they uttered to each other on many occasions as they wondered why this had happened. Where is Christ? Why is he not coming? But one thing that this does tell us is that we can be honest with God, and we can tell him how we really feel and what we are really thinking. And we also know this if you just simply read the Psalms, which tell us how to pray. The Psalms are full of complaints to God, expressions of doubt, expressions of wondering why God has allowed something to happen. When we have these kinds of thoughts, it's not wrong for us to pray and to say, "God, why?" Because the fact that we're even asking the question has a faith underlying it, because we're saying it to God because we're hoping and believing that we're going to get an answer that's going to satisfy that question. And so when these two sisters approached Christ, when they said this, they were expressing how they felt, but they also were waiting to hear what Christ would say and to see what he would do, because they had some belief that he would explain it to them at the very least, and that they would understand why he had not arrived when they were expecting him. In verse 20 of chapter 11 in the Gospel of John, it says, "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." On YouTube, there's a video series that has recordings of Irish schoolgirls from the 1950s that tell various stories from the scriptures and also from the lives of the saints, just from their memory. And this one girl was telling this story, and when she got to this part, and she was recounting what Martha's response was, she said, "Of course I believe in the resurrection. It's in the Apostles' Creed." And we often, when we read the creed, when we recite the creed, we say things that we confess that we believe, but they often seem very remote to us. And that's kind of what we had here. She knew that the faith of Israel was that there would be a resurrection on the last day. And so she was expressing her faith in that. But then in verse 25 it says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. So Christ strengthens her faith. And we hear her give this clear confession of who Christ was, almost identical to the confession of St. Peter, when Christ asked, Who do you say that I am? Verse 28, And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master has come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He said, Where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then it just says, Jesus wept. Why are we told that Christ groaned in the spirit, that he was troubled, and that he wept? Because he was truly man. Those of you who were here yesterday, you heard Father Ben give a brief sermon. He talked about how when Christ said to Martha, I am the resurrection, he was proclaiming that he was the I am of the Old Testament. But while being perfect God, he was also perfect man. And as St. Paul says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was moved to weep over the pain that Martha and Mary were suffering. And when we are suffering, we have to believe that he's moved by our suffering also, because he remains perfect God and perfect man. We have to know and we have to believe that. But to truly know it, it has to be more than something that we verbally affirm, but something that we come to know in our hearts by faith, by living out the gospel, by living out the things we read in scriptures and having them affirmed as to be true, and to see God answer prayer in our lives. The more that we live the Christian life, the more our assurance of that truth should become a reality. Then in verse 36 it says, Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? How often do we think along those same lines? Couldn't God have done something different to prevent what happened that was horrible, whatever it was, in our lives? Of course, God could always do something different. But the thing is, we don't know why God does what he does and why he doesn't do sometimes what we think that he ought to do. Like Mary and Martha, we don't know the answer to the question of why, but we have to have their faith that there is an answer. We have to believe that Christ does love us and that all these things happen, as St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. In verse 38, it says, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou wilt see the glory of God? It's not just in the creed, Martha. You're about to get a foretaste of the reality of the resurrection that we confess in the creed. It's not the final resurrection, but it's a gift from God. to them especially, but to all of us, to know that there is a truth to what we believe. Then verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And when he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin, Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. The fathers tell us that if Christ had not specified Lazarus when he said, Come forth, that all the dead would have come forth in response to his command. Then verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Here, Martha and Mary were given the answer to the question why. It was all providential. It was providential that so many people would be witnesses to these things. And when we read the gospel today, we are given an explanation as to why it is that on this particular occasion when Christ came into Jerusalem, that there were so many people that were singing Hosanna to the Son of David. It was because, as it says in John 12:18, they had heard that he had done this miracle. So this raising of Lazarus rocked the people of Jerusalem. And the chief priests became very concerned that if we don't do something quickly, this is going to get out of hand. And so it wasn't just the cleansing of the temple, but also the raising of Lazarus from the dead that were the main reasons why the chief priest and the elders sought to crucify Christ. We're told in tradition that not long after this, Lazarus went to Cyprus because the Jews were still seeking to kill him because he was a living testament of the power of Jesus Christ. And we're told that he lived another 30 years. When the apostles came to Cyprus and they found him there, they made him the first bishop of Cyprus. One thing that's very interesting that I read is that, according to tradition, whenever Lazarus ate, he especially enjoyed his food. It's very unusual because in Orthodox spiritual writings, we're usually told about how we should be ascetic, we should refrain from these kinds of things as much as we're able to, but in this case, we're told that Lazarus really enjoyed every meal after he was raised from the dead, because I guess he was thanking God for every day that he had. And one thing that that tells us is that God doesn't begrudge us the good things of this life. He just doesn't want us to be enslaved by it. So it's all a matter of balance, as it is with most things. But Lazarus, after 30 years, finally died a second time. And now he awaits the final resurrection, the resurrection that his sisters Mary and Martha came to see the reality of on that day that we read about in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Amen.